This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to talk about power, forces, the supernatural, energy, and things that fit into those categories. Now, first and foremost, we have to acknowledge something. What we have to acknowledge is that we are right now in the middle of the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. In fact, that's the title of a book I wrote over a year ago, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, where I put forth the proposition that we are in the greatest battle. And that battle is basically in our hearts and our minds, not just us, but all of America and all of the world. And this battle is raging. Now, theoretically, anybody who says that they know God or they love God, or if they say something like, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus or God would enter the spiritual battle as a powerful force of healing, transformation, salvation, deliverance. Jesus would come into that spiritual battlefield or the invisible realm, and he would engage in conflict. Now, what we have in America is we have a very large percentage of the so-called evangelical Christian church, but they have adopted the non-biblical theology of retreatism, which comes obviously from the word retreat. They're retreating, they're hiding, they're surrendering, they're playing dead or whatever else you want to call it. So they're into like retreatism, but in a warfare or a struggle of a spiritual nature, you can't win a spiritual battle if you're going to retreat. I mean, even Jesus Christ and God, one and the same, talk about this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The critical thing in winning a spiritual battle is you have to know who your enemy is. And first and foremost, you have to have a mind that actually works, and you're able to deduce the reality that, in fact, you're in a battle. A lot of people, I'd say that most people on planet Earth, don't even know they're in a battle, and most Christians don't know they're in a battle. And the reason they don't know they're in the battle is because they are ignorant. They lack knowledge, they lack wisdom and cognitive abilities, etc., etc. The reason that they lack a basic knowledge of what's happening in reality is because they chose to. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but you can choose to be stupid. And we have a lot of people in America who have chosen to be stupid, especially, and I don't enjoy saying this, You need to understand, I don't enjoy or relish saying this. I only say it this way for the purpose of shock, because you've got to break people out of their trance state. And I have to say that the majority, I'm talking about, let's just say conservatively, 75% to 80%, of all Christians in America are unaware that they're in a massive spiritual battle. But in this particular case, the most astute analysts of politics, economics, and history, the ones that really know what they're talking about, would concur that this battle is presently being lost by the people who call themselves Christians or Bible-believing Christians or whatever. They're presently losing the battle and this is really easy to understand, they're losing the battle because they've retreated from the battle. And anybody knows that if you retreat from a battle, of course you lose. If you're in a sports team and you don't show up, or some of your best players don't show up for a particular game, well, you've lost the game. So the only way we can reverse the tide is to immediately change our method of operation, which first and foremost means we have to acknowledge the reality that we're in a battle, and then we have to acknowledge our responsibility before Almighty God, that each one of us has a responsibility, an obligation to the God of the Bible to be engaged in the battle, the spiritual battle, which takes many forms. Primarily, winning souls would be the primary form. So, right now, if we as Christians, conservatives, Americans who believe in God, I don't know what definition you want to use, but right now, if we are to continue on our present methodology and pattern, we will be wiped out, extinct. We will be defeated in a battle. And the level, this is what the whole purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, is all about, to wake people up to the total truth of the Bible. We're not here to scare people or whatever. We're here to open you up to the total truth that's in the Bible. And that truth is that if you're going to reject God's word and God's ways of doing things, you're going to be attacked by your enemies. It's a biblical pattern. You're going to be attacked by your enemies. You will be captured as slaves. You will be murdered by the millions. Murdered women, men, children, rape, the unspeakable, starved to death, shot to death, goes on and on and on. Now, the classic way that human beings deal with such a negative scenario is they move into some kind of psychological denial phase where they say, oh, this isn't happening. There really isn't a battle. You're just paranoid. There is no enemy, and their end game is not to kill you, destroy you, and enslave you brutally. In order to adopt a position like that, you essentially have to turn off your brain. And then you are a easy and a soft target. And America, for the last 65 years, has been an easy and soft target. And the root of the problem of America right now is not some political party or one particular politician or one particular thing here and there. The root of the problem is that beginning around 65 years ago, Christians began retreating and abandoning the culture, hiding, giving up, and Christians stopped speaking out aggressively and intelligently for their faith in the Bible and their faith in God. In other words, they basically gave up, and they were seduced by the evil one into the spiritual deception that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. But you're a fool. Of course it matters what you do. Of course it matters what you do. If it didn't matter what you do, then why would God have the Ten Commandments? Why would have God laws regarding salvation, et cetera, et cetera? It matters what you do. And as the famous philosopher said, when good men do nothing, or when good men and women do nothing, that's it. I'm paraphrasing. They're slaughtered. They're annihilated. All it takes to be annihilated and to become extinct. All it takes is for men and women who are generally speaking good and virtuous to stop being good and virtuous and let go the control of our society to people that are evil and are death dealers of various sorts. Okay, so we have a very, this is not just my opinion, this is the opinion of many world-leading experts, the good ones, not the paid propagandists, but the ones that understand history, etc., etc. We have a very short period of time before we encounter a catastrophic set of circumstances that is beyond the ability of most people to believe and conceptualize and envision, because they've never seen it themselves. They've never seen it firsthand for themselves. Therefore, when people show them a picture of it or try to describe it or try to warn of it, they don't really get it. It's something out there in the fog. Now, that's not everyone. There are the minority of people who use their God-given brains, who actually think about what they see. They actually listen to the warnings they're given. They actually think about and ponder and make decisions when they're presented with facts of what their future is going to be if they don't make certain changes. So we know from history and economics and many other fields of study that any nation in the world and throughout human history that decided to act and behave and think like America is acting, behaving, and thinking right now, all of them fell into horrific destruction. They were made slaves, they were slaughtered, they were killed, and their various empires collapsed. That's the historical law. And the other historical law is that most of these great empires, like America, they are conquered from within. They're not conquered from without. That's the historical rule. It's not usually some outside invader that destroyed them. Most often, it's social forces and people inside a particular empire or nation that corrupt it and create the situations in which it collapses and dies. And what you're seeing happen in America right now is that scenario being played out. It's rotting. America is rotting spiritually from within. And then comes the chaos, the crisis, the riots, and eventually the masses of people, Christians too, the masses of people will begin to cry out to their governments in desperation, begging their government to establish a form of martial law or totalitarianism of armed troops and electronic surveillance controlling everything to stop the chaos and the murders and stuff. That's the historical pattern, minus the technology. Now, the problem with that is that always makes the people slaves. They end up being worse off than they ever were before. And life is 100 times worse. But that's the way it happens. I mean, all you have to do is do a little bit of reading in history, studying of history, economics, wars, things like that. Just a, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. People who know anything about history know what's going to happen next. The only people that don't know what's going to happen next are the majority of the people that you know and I know personally. They could be friends, they could be family members, they could be coworkers, they could be people that we interact with, and they could even be in our own midst. There's plenty of them in churches and in Christian groups, and they are the only people who don't seem to know what's going to happen next. Everybody else seems to know what's going to happen next. And the price of that ignorance is your total annihilation and your total destruction. And, you know, you can say, I've been making this up. That's fine. It's a good, it's a defective place to hide, but it is a hiding place. A hiding place, you invent theological and intellectual little fairy tales to tell yourself, to justify to yourself your behavior and your actions. So you can do the most cowardly things and the most destructive things to you, your family, and your nation, but you convince yourself through some form of self-justification, or you convince yourself by believing in some dogma or some belief system which tells you something completely irrational, which is everything's going to be great, when it's not. Okay, so what's next? What's next is this. You and I, we have a choice to make. We claim to be believers in Jesus Christ. So the choice we have to make is, are we going to obey the Lord Jesus, the Lord God? Are we going to obey him or not when he speaks to us, when he commands us to do something? So, I don't have to claim to be something special to tell you this, but I am going to tell you this because I love you with the agape love or the Christ-like love of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the love of God in me compels me to speak out in love for you and your family and people we all know. Because if I and others and you and others don't speak out, your worst fears will materialize. So, I have a responsibility before God. The reason we created Paradise Mountain Church and Paul McGuire Ministries was to do what the Lord told us to do. Things like teach people how to occupy until they come. Teach against fatalism, which paralyzes people. Teach people that they have a responsibility before God not to be out there in ozone land, but to actually engage in the spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. Those are law-abiding, peaceful weapons like prayer and intercessory prayer, and standing up for righteousness and things of that nature. So, let's not talk about all the disconnects at the moment. Let's talk about what is the problem. We just identified it. And secondly now, what are we going to do about it? And before we complete answering number two, which is what are we going to do about it, we have to define what that means and what that would entail us accomplishing and being victorious at. So we created this ministry under the direction of the Lord to stand up and to function as a modern watchman blowing a modern shofar or a modern trumpet of warning that the enemy is coming in the distance, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, make disciples of all nations, and to do that and to reach as many people as we can. So now is the time to engage at a level like never before, because time is running out. And if you believe in the same things that I've just shared with you, then you will be compelled by the Lord to give financially, contribute, make donations, spread our links far and wide. Make sure you join, like, subscribe, it's all free, to our social media, and partner with us. Nobody can do this alone individually. It can't happen that way. Now, let's put a pause there. Let's say you decided to do that, you decide not to do that, and you decide not to do that with other watchmen on the wall, Bible teaching type of ministries. Let's say you don't do anything. Okay. Then you're responsible, just like Paul McGuire is responsible as to whether or not when God called me to do something, which ended up in this ministry, whether or not I chose to obey him or not. I chose to obey him. And I have to continually make that choice. So do you. Because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, and ultimately this isn't the real reason I serve God. It's probably not the real reason that you serve God. I don't serve God out of fear of what he's going to do to me. I'm aware of that reality, but I know God personally, like many of you do. And I serve God out of a joy, out of a sense of honor and privilege. That's why I serve God. I don't serve God out of fear. So that fear is not the motivating factor. It's the love of God. It's the love of God operating in me. And so what is needed now above anything else is to be effective in our communication. Because if we're effective in our communication and we're able to distribute our communication far and wide, the knowledge and truth in that communication can turn the tide of the spiritual battle. So I need your help in all those areas. And you can contact us or visit our website and take advantage of all the free resources at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. But things are moving extremely quickly right now. You know that, and I know that. They're moving extremely quickly. And so our willingness to do what God is calling us to do, whatever it is, our willingness to obey God, our willingness to heed the call of God in our lives is at an all-time emergency level, and an all-time emergency level needed for a response from God's people. Because if we do not walk through the open door that God has given us by his grace, his unmerited favor right now, we have a very brief, limited time where God has allowed us to have an open door, which for now gives us the freedom, the mobility, etc., to make these all-important changes. And there's an expiration date on this from God. You know, like I have to look at the cans of cat food for our cat. And if I don't look at the date really carefully, I can easily purchase the wrong, an obsolete can of cat food. Now, when I serve it to the cat doesn't eat it. Because it knows it's expired, it doesn't taste good. So you have to pay attention to the expiration date. The cat will always eat the cat food where it has not expired. So God has given us a promise with an expiration date. He's saying, here's a plan, here's an opportunity, here are the resources that you need to mobilize and turn the tide of the spiritual battle. But you have to do it now. And, you know, there's only X amount of days left before this offer expires. I hate to make God sound so cheesy, but I'm trying to illustrate a point. if we don't act now while there is a limited opportunity, and that could go into a whole very long conversation, we will lose the battle. You look at the Old Testament. You read the stories. Read the accounts of the children of Israel and the kings of Israel and their whole history and the regular cyclical pattern of Israel going into captivity. So the historical record of Israel and many other nations, I shouldn't say many other nations, the historical record of Israel, because Israel was unique because they alone in their time periods were called by God to be a witness to the world regarding the law of God or the word of God. So you don't see this same historical pattern happening in any other nation except for America. And so when Israel began to worship the gods of the pagan nations around, when they began to let their behavior become evil and break the laws and commandments of God, when they began to disobey God and break his commandments and worship the pagan gods, God would send prophets to them to warn them. This is the historical pattern. There'd be a time period where he'd just keep sending more prophets and more prophets. Then, if the people didn't repent and change their ways, he would allow things to happen to grab their attention. And if they continued to be hard-hearted, God would allow them to be invaded by enemy troops, and the enemy troops would make them the slaves of those nations, and then the children of Israel would go into slavery and they would be slaughtered. And so this happened on a cyclical basis. So finally it would get so bad, once again the agony, the pain, the suffering would be so horrible that they would begin to repent again, and they'd begin to worship the true God again, and they'd begin to seek his face, and then God would show mercy and restore their blessing. And then there'd be a season of blessing, and then the people would go back to their wicked ways, so to speak, and then they would go through this whole thing again. Now, America has entered into a similar cycle. God blessed us above all the nations of the earth. That was a promise that God gave to Israel in Deuteronomy 28. He said in Deuteronomy 28 to the children of Israel, God said to them, if you will not worship the false gods and the idols of the pagan nations, and if you will diligently obey all my commandments and laws, then God outlined an entire list of blessings that would come upon the people of Israel if they didn't worship idols and they obeyed God's commandments. And then right in the middle of chapter 28, you see a long list of all the curses that God says that he'll pour out on his people. A whole long list of curses God says he'll pour out on his people if they continue to disobey him, and if they continue to worship idols. So Deuteronomy 28 is known as the blessings and the curses. So America, and one of the blessings listed in Deuteronomy 28, is God says to the nation of Israel that I will raise you up above all the nations of the earth. Well, the Pilgrims and Puritans modeled how they set up America based on Deuteronomy 28. And so, America was the recipient of the blessing of the Pilgrims and Puritans. And because the Pilgrims and Puritans diligently obeyed the commandments of the Lord, because the Pilgrims and Puritans worshiped the true God only and not false gods, then God did just what he promised to Israel. He multiplied the wealth, the power, the position of America, and raised America up above all nations on planet Earth. That's why America is unique and different. So we're in a critical period here because the enemies within and the enemies without hate Christianity, hate Jesus, hate Christians with a passion. They want to destroy America from within and from without. And they have been succeeding in that endeavor because there's been very little resistance. One of the purposes of our ministry, and that's why I need your help, is to rally the people to their God-given responsibility to stand for their Lord and Savior. Now, so America raised up, God raised up America above all the nations on planet Earth. Up until around 65 years ago, when America markedly began to be infiltrated by people who hated God, communists, others, and very quickly, America started to be infiltrated and penetrated with people and organizations and big money that passionately hated God. And then we were undermined from within. Christians in America themselves began to turn away from God. They began to turn away from obeying God. And as you sow, so shall you reap. The evil, the disobedience we sowed, we began to reap in a harvest. And right now, we're in great danger because America, right in front of your eyes and my eyes, listen to me, please, America is reaping what it has sowed for the last 65 years, not only in the land of America, but America is reaping what it sowed via the media and movies and music and television, what America sowed to just about every nation on planet Earth. America has sowed immorality and godlessness and all kinds of horrible things. So, this is the end of the road. Either we immediately turn around. You may say, you say that a lot. And unfortunately, I don't really mean unfortunately in the bigger sense of the word, but in the temporary sense of the word, that may bother people who are committed to doing nothing. Well, many of us, such as myself and many of the people listening, people who stand with us and pray for us and contribute into our ministry and volunteer, etc. To all of those people, we walk around filled with the Spirit of God, and we're energized, and we are going to do what the Lord has told us to do using spiritual weapons, engaging in spiritual warfare. And we may not, change absolutely everything. That most likely is not going to happen until Jesus returns at the second coming. But to whatever degree we can restrain evil and hold evil back, maybe it's we can only hold it back 5%. That would represent millions of souls saved, by the way. Among them, your sons or daughters. We may only be able to hold, 20% of the evil back. But there's a lot of good that can be done with 20% of evil being held back. Or we could go higher statistically. But it requires that you listening and me speaking, listen to what I'm speaking to myself. I have to, and you have to, obey the call of God right now. I want to tell you something, and I know that any Christian, any real Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're listening to me now, there's no issue about this in you. There's no struggle. There's no ambivalence. You know what I'm talking about. I know, and you know, that right now you can sense the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. You can sense the still, small words of Jesus Christ speaking to you in your inner woman and your inner man. And you know right now God's calling you. He's calling you to obey him and engage in the spiritual battle and using spiritual weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, as the Spirit of God comes down upon you right now and you feel the infusion of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, as you feel that infusion of the Spirit of God touching you, ministering to you, and calling you and anointing you, if you start to rise and obey his call, at that moment, the energies of heaven become released. At that moment, the energies of God become released in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. At that moment, when you turn your head and you decide to walk in the ways of God, at that moment, which is now, you can tangibly feel, experience, and process with your God-given mind. Right now, at this moment, you know that you know that you know that the Lord is talking to you and the Lord is commissioning you. And the Lord is calling you to engage, to answer him, to turn around, repent. He's calling you. He's calling me. Everyone that's listening to the Paul McGuire Report right now, God is calling. And God is calling millions of people in America and around the world. Millions. He's calling. So the question is, will you answer the call of God, or will you play mind games with yourself and God and do nothing? Well, let me share something. Let me just share something with you. It's really important. It's really easy. What I want to share with you is something that I learned. Every time in my life where the Lord brought me to a place where I would have to do really serious kingdom business with God, which usually meant God wanted me to surrender my whole life totally to him. God brought me to the place where I asked Jesus Christ to cleanse me of my sins and save me. Every time that God would do that, it would cause a transformation in my life. And that same experience, most likely many of you have had. I remember when the Spirit of God was speaking to me through a very scholarly English, he was famous. I didn't know who he was because I was barely saved. But he was the pastor of a famous church in Manhattan. And he, very distinguished people went to that church. And I remember attending that church as a visitor. And he had an English accent, and he really knew the Bible. He preached from the Bible. He stayed on the Bible. And he challenged everyone in the sanctuary to be willing not to just serve Jesus Christ as your Lord, although that's all important. He challenged us to take it to the next level and to surrender our lives and ask Jesus Christ, or invite Jesus Christ, to be Lord of our lives, Lord of everything, Lord of every decision, Lord of everything we do. And I prayed that prayer on my knees in front of the Baptist Church in Manhattan. It's called Calvary Baptist Church. Johnny Cash, the country singer, went there with his wife, June Carter Cash, at that time. So God's calling you. And there's always a certain struggle as you're making that decision, because the powers of darkness don't want you to make that decision. So you may experience a slight amount of blowback, but if you persevere, God will release his blessing upon you. And what I've noticed is that after a momentary struggle where you change directions and you may experience some adversity, or you may not, you break into a different level or dimension with God, and you begin to see more realistically, you begin to see more vibrantly the reality of God's personal actions, the reality of God's personal intervention in your life and the life of your loved ones. In other words, it's like somebody took the blinders off you, and all of a sudden you're hit with dazzling sunlight, and you can see with crystal clear clarity, you can see with perfect definition all around you, the sizes, the shapes, the people, the buildings, the cars, everything we call physical reality just comes alive before you. And so God has been intimately involved in your life in so many ways that many of us don't even realize it. But when we come to a place where we surrender ourselves to the Lord, he will open those doors. We will see just how deeply and lovingly he has been involved in our lives and in the prayers that you've prayed and the people that you know. God's good. God's good. And we must never forget that. As we go before the world, we have to represent Jesus as who he is. God is love and God is good. That doesn't mean we don't teach the whole truth, but we don't teach the whole truth unless we first speak the truth in love. So we can speak authoritatively, wisely, strategically, intelligently, but also we speak the truth in love. Okay, so the third place where the Lord will take you at some point, and he speaks to us all as individuals, because we all are individuals, we all have different temperaments, different personalities, different backgrounds, etc., etc. So there's many ways that God speaks to me that are probably different than how God speaks to you. God speaks to you on your own wavelength, so to speak, as he does to me. And through the course of writing books, especially the one that is on its way to the printer now, and that is Power from On High, I spent an enormous amount of time research and studying Power from On High from all kinds of perspectives, scientific, psychological, biblical, the New Testament, the Old Testament. But anyway, I looked at all the counterfeit power systems in the occult and witchcraft in the New Age, scientific, occultic power systems, and then Power from On High, which is, that's God's power. In the book of Acts, what made the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ supernaturally strengthened, supernaturally anointed, and supernaturally able to overcome their enemies and reach the world for Jesus Christ very quickly, what allowed the disciples to do that is that they were supernaturally clothed with power from on high, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples of Jesus. Before that, they couldn't do anything. So don't go out being well-meaning, but you're doing it on your own strength, because you'll be roadkill before the day is over. Sorry for being gross, but it's true. The battle that we're all in right now is so larger, so much bigger than what any one of us could fight in our own human strength or intelligence. We can't do that. It's too big. But when we are filled with power from on high, we are filled with the supernatural power above and beyond us, the power of Almighty God, coming from the word dunamis or dynamite or the dynamite explosive power of God. Now, I go into that a lot in my book, Power from On High, which you can get at a discount now at paulmcguire.us. And you should get it to prepare you for the days ahead so you can be victorious and strengthened and filled with power in our world today when you need it. So, this is what I learned as I studied the word, and many of you are familiar with what I'm going to say. Before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, in front of his disciples with the two angels there, before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that they were to tarry or to wait in Jerusalem until the Father sent power from on high upon them. So, to obey Jesus, they had to make sure that they gathered together as one, that the believers and disciples gathered together as one in Jerusalem and tarried, or they waited upon the Lord in prayer. They cried out to God. They humbled themselves. They kept praying to God. They kept staying in close contact with God. And they were obeying Jesus. Then, because they obeyed Jesus by waiting upon God in Jerusalem, the windows of heaven, so to speak, opened up, and God Almighty poured out power from on high on the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And God Almighty clothed them with power from on high. He sent power from on high upon them and in them and fused them with power from on high. And once they were filled or clothed with power from on high, at that moment, instantaneously, they now possessed the supernatural power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit transformed them from within. And they finally had the supernatural power, the supernatural wisdom, and the supernatural ability to conquer the evil one, to conquer the demonic powers, and overcome all the spirits of wickedness, and preach the gospel successfully, bring in and saving souls successfully, and reaching the world successfully. And along with this, they had, for the first time in their lives, they had the ability to pray for people and miracles would happen. The gifts of the Spirit would happen. The fruits of the Spirit would happen. So ask yourself the question. Do the math, really simple. 2 + 2 = 4. Ask yourself the question, how do we turn America around? What does the church do now? What do I do now? You're facing stuff. Most of you know what you're facing. Some of you don't, and you better get informed quickly. You know what's coming, and you have to be filled with the power of God. You don't have it in your own human strength to engage in this level of spiritual battle with a minimal amount of spiritual strength. So, you need to do what Jesus told the disciples to do. You need to wait on God. That, for me, I wait on God with my head on my pillow, or driving in the car, or doing chores or whatever. You don't have to wait on God in some ceremonial way. Waiting on God means waiting on God with your heart in it. And you wait on God, and you cry out to God, and you ask Him to clothe you with power from on high. And you pray for others and the church to be clothed with power from on high in America or wherever you're praying for. And if you will be faithful to do that, if Christians in America would simply be faithful to do that simple prayer and mean it, God would instantaneously surprise every Christian in America, and he would show up clothing his people, you and me and millions of others, with power from on high. And when you have millions and millions and millions of people in America and around the world, but let's start with America, millions and millions and millions of people in America, all of a sudden, out of the blue, instantaneously, they're clothed with power from on high. The glory of God comes upon them. The supernatural dunamis dynamite power of God from heaven infuses them. Now they're not just mere mortal human beings. They're supernatural human beings clothed with power from on high. The moment you walk out in faith to engage in the spiritual battle, clothed with power from on high, is the moment that victory occurs. It's the moment of the turning point. It's the moment of overcoming the powers of darkness. And God wants to hit America with an authentic and biblical revival and an authentic and biblical third great awakening that will rock this nation back into righteousness and rock this nation into repentance. You can either be part of this powerful move of God, a biblical, authentic third great awakening. You're either in it, baby, or you're out of it. As for me and my household, and yours too, we're in it. I know you are. So join me, partner with me. Go to paulmcguire.us, spread this message far and wide. Obey the Lord, pray for us, and visit paulmcguire.us. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire.